combine together a sugya chometz and yaz yoma. Plus, the mission is related to Malacha Shabbos, you know, Yom Tov a little bit. So, it'll be kind of a combination of different themes. So, we try to learn through a sugya just in the Gemara together. We even changed the format of the Mount Kabbalah. We feel like we're actually learning the Gemara together. So, we learn through a sugya in the Sechet Sachem of Hamid Aleph. Try to focus on the sugya, not only from the vantage point of the Yom, but also from the syllabus that relate to some of the sugyas of Malacha, some of the things that we have been talking about over the last while. So the sugya begins from the bottom of Hamid Aleph. The Gemara is commenting on a Pasuk Chumash, and the verse is, Bo Achbriya Mavishon Tashbisus Ovi Batechem. The Torah gives us the mitzvah of Tashbisus, the mitzvah of removing chametz, and the Torah links the mitzvah of removing chametz to Bayam Mavishon, Achbriya Mavishon, the first day. So the question is obvious, the first day of what? The first day of when? What is the Yom HaRishon that the Chumash is referring to? So if you would just read the Sukkim Kipshuta without the assistance of the Tosh about that, you would probably walk away with the conclusion that the Yom HaRishon is the first day of Pesach. That's what the context of the Sukkim we're talking about, the celebration of Pesach. The Yom HaRishon sounds like you can have as much Chumash as you want on the Seder, and no problem. But it's time to get around to the morning of the 10th of Nisan, trying to get rid of some of your Chumash. So comes the Tosh about that very, very quickly and dispels any notion like that. But there's a machlekes at the nine, just how do we know that that's true? Everybody agrees that that's true. Everyone agrees that Yom Rishon does not mean the first day of Pesach. We all know it means Erev Pesach. Yom Rishon refers to Yiddal Nisan, rather than Tesla Nisan. The question is, how do we get there? Where is that also alluded to in the Tosh of Chsav? It comes to the Gemara on Hamid Aleph. It's in the thin lines, the fourth at the bottom of the thin lines. It says the price on the Erev Yom Tov. So an absolute statement of fact, especially with their comments, that it means Erev Yom Tov. Nobody ever disagreed with this. This is from day one back to Meshach Day. We knew this was true. But the price tries to figure out, where do you see it in the Chumash itself? Oh, ain't it all the Yom Tov Asmo? Maybe Yom HaRishon refers to Yom Tov. So Talmud Lomar, the first time it says, Nostishka L'chamet Dam Zivchi. There it says, in Parashas Mishpatim, in Parashas Kisisa, that you're not allowed to shech the Kav in Pesach when there's chametz around. Since the Torah in other places prohibits us from shechting the Kav in Pesach, having chametz around, we know that this man, the Pesach is obviously not the first day of Pesach, obviously that's Erev Pesach. So we put two and two together. Since we're mechuyev to shech the Kav in Pesach at Erev Pesach. And we know for a fact that you're not allowed to own chametz at the time of shechting the Pesach. The Pesach here, that the intention of the Torah of Achbriya Mavishon was not on Pesach, but rather was on Erev Pesach. Of course, even in Manazah, we no longer have a Kavan Pesach right now. Still, the mitzvah of Tashbisa hasn't changed. So just as Tashbisa was on a mikdash, obviously meant Erev Pesach, so to Tashbisa was Manazah, that means Erev Pesach as well. Rabbi Akiva Sheik, that's going to be really the main focus of Ashir. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Akiva says it's not necessary to derive from the Pesukim concerning Korban Pesach. I can figure it out from the words itself of Tashbisim. Why? Hareyu Omer, Achbriya Mavishon Tashbisus Ovi Batechem. The Torah says that this mitzvah of Tashbisu has to take place on the first day, which again, we're playing these devil's advocate, maybe Erev Pesach, maybe the first day of Pesach itself. The says of Akiva can't be that the Torah is instructing us to destroy Chametz on the first day of Pesach. Why? Uchsiv, Komalacha, Lo Sasu. Now, there is no such pasuk called Malacha Lo Sasu. There's a pasuk Lo Sasu Komalacha. There's a pasuk called Malacha Zavoda Lo Sasu. So somewhere I got a little bit of a conversion of psukim. But the basic point of Rabbi Akiva is that the Torah says you're not allowed to do Malacha. And Yom Tov, give a shot, skip up the fact this year, Shabbat, that's totally irrelevant. Just a regular Yom Tov. Regular Pesach, first day of Yom Tov falls out on Tuesday. There's a prohibition against doing Malacha. Malacha Zavoda Lo Sasu. But how can it be that in the same breath the Torah tells us, Ach miyam rishon tashbisu sorbatechem, and simultaneously the Torah says, Kom alech devan los asim, don't do malacha on Yom Tov. Umatzil ha'avar shi'av malacha, and Rabbi Akiva argues that havara, the method of burning, the method of destruction that we associate with tashbisu, requires the doing of a malacha. So therefore it would be inconceivable that the Torah would tell us to do a malacha involving tashbisu on Yom Tov itself. So we have this pasuk Ach Yom HaRishon. We try to figure out what does Yom HaRishon mean. Does Yom HaRishon mean Erev Pesach? Does Yom HaRishon mean Pesach itself? Go either way. Comes with it. He even says, well, if you can tell me that Tashbisu means on Pesach, so that's tantamount to telling me to do an Aveira. Every year on first day of Pesach, we're going to light a fire, which is Usher. which would be a violation of Malacha, Kavanas Lemosasu. So therefore, it must be that the Kavanas of Torah was on Erev Pesach. Now the truth is that if the Torah would have told us explicitly to Tesh Bisu on Pesach without any questions, then we wouldn't have hesitated. We would have said, okay, listen, the Torah says to do it. The Torah says to bring a Korban Pesach on Shabbos also. The Torah says to do a Bris Milah on Shabbos. The Torah says to bring a Nefesh on Shabbos. A lot of times it tells us that one mitzvah supersedes another. So it's not impossible for the mitzvah Tesh Bisu to be applying on Yom Tov. It's just improbable. Not likely, that's what the Torah said, if we have an option to the contrary. So here, we're trying to figure out what is the Kavanas Torah. Yom HaRishon is vague. Yom HaRishon could equally mean Erev Pesach, could equally mean Pesach. Can't tell. So where is Rabbi Shmuel went running to come in Pesach, Moshishka Lachomet, to be Mavarer, to clarify for us what the meaning of the Tesh Bisu is? Rabbi Kiva says, no, I don't have to run to an external source for clarification of the word Yom HaRishon. Phrase of Arishon most probably means Erev Pesach, because if it would have meant Pesach itself, it would have necessitated doing Malacha with something. Is most probably not the case. Yeah. And that's the Rikiva's formulation.
The Torah tells us many times that Chametz is also on Pesach. So what's the Havamina that the night of Pesach I'm allowed to have Chametz around?
The Torah, oh, very good, excellent. So the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat inside Pesach. The Torah says, Shishyam is all about the Vatechem. That means 7 days. It doesn't necessarily mean 7 complete days. It could be the Torah saying, because that's starting on the first day of Pesach. Let's get moving, getting rid of this Chametz. So one could have conceived that the night before maybe would have been Mutter. Maybe the night before, not as Mutter to eat the Chametz. Chametz
is not for 7 days.
It says Shishyam, but it could be that's also about 7 days. If I get rid of the Chametz the first day of Pesach, that means the first day already counts. Half the day counts. Please give him Kulo. Then another 6 days. So it wouldn't have been crazy to say Achmed Rishon would have meant that the Torah is saying, don't own Chametz the whole 7 days and get rid of it on the first day. It wouldn't have been such a crazy formulation. Because you're used to the last 3,500 years of the speak the first, and by Rav Masayat, we're playing the other possibility. At the end of the day, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel end up in the exact same place, albeit through somewhat different mechanisms. And Rabbi Yossi has a third possibility, which is really in effect that's the fishes shot. But the Yossi, oh man. Yossi says, I don't need any of these drushes. I don't need a moch or a source from Korban Pesach. And I don't need a story about Malacha Yom Tov. I can figure out all my own. That must mean from before Yom Tov. Maybe it means Yom Tov. Achmer Marishon doesn't mean that you get rid of the Chametz at the beginning of the day, whatever the day is, either 14 to 15. It means you have plenty of time in the day. Ach means halfway through the day. Chatzon sayom. That's when you get rid of your chametz. The ibiyot of atzmo. If you're going to tell me that it's referring to the first day of Pesach, then the Torah is not just telling me to get rid of your chametz on the first day. The Torah is saying relax, make the seder at night, get up the next morning, go to shul, come home, have your kiddush. By 12 o'clock, make sure to get rid of your chametz. Says the Gemara. What? The ibiyot of atzmo. Shari, how can that be? The Torah says, you're eating matzah already the night before. You're already not eating chametz the night before. So is it conceivable that the Torah would have said, Tashbisa, relax, you have all the time in the world? Would have been made, like I said, it would have been made conceivable if the Torah would have said, get rid of your chametz at the beginning of the first day. The Torah would have said, get rid of your chametz in the middle of the first day. That's already moves up. That's already a little bit too much. When all the dust settles, everybody comes to the exact same conclusion that you're not allowed to hold out your chametz after partially into the day of Erev Pesach. The mitzvah tashbisu when a Torah applies via Marisha, via Rishon, the traditional Toshavah interpretation means Erev Pesach. Three different sources of Torah had to get there, either based on Moshishcha, that was Rabbi Shmuel, based on the fact that it would have violated the Malachim to Rabbi Akiva, or based on the fact that it just doesn't work out in the calendar, on the clock, those are the times, that's Rabbi Yossi. This is an example of what the Rambam tells us in his introduction to Bereshit Mishnayos, that sometimes we have a word or a term or phrase in the Chumash that's a little bit vague, and we would have just learned Teshuvah Ksav. If we wouldn't have had the Masorah, so we would have potentially interpreted the Pasuk in matter X, comes the Teshuvah Ben says, no, interpreting the matter Y. But comes the Teshuvah Ben says, if you look in the Teshuvah Ksav, you'll find the Koros, you'll find source, you'll find allusions for the existence of that pre-existing tradition. The Rambam gives you a few examples of that. The Rambam says, there's the chugash to take a beautiful fruit on the first day of Sukkot, creates other. What's the creates other? Maybe it's an apple, maybe it's an orange, maybe it's a plum, I don't know what it is. So the Teshuvah Pesach says it's an esrog. Gemara learned out from Sukkim, how do you know it's a Nesser? Because only a Nesser, the bark tastes like the fruit, and only a Nesser gets darbi, gelada, mishan, mishana. Well, there's 15 different makaras for the fact that a free etal is a Nesser. Or the Rambam gives another example. The Torah says, ayin tachas ayin. We know the traditional interpretation has always been that you make the person pay for the eye. That's the first thing, out of his eye. How do you know that? The Gemara of the Kama quotes this pasuk, that pasuk, this pasuk, that pasuk. You see that sometimes the Gemara will quote Sukkim to support pre-existing traditions. So the Rambam would probably say this. It wasn't a machlokes. It wasn't that until Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi came along, everyone was getting rid of the chametz on Pesach. We've never, ever, from day one, we never saw most of us say that Rabbi Shmuel, anyone ever hold out the chametz until the first day of Pesach. Everyone knows you get rid of the chametz before Pesach. How did we get to that point? How did we figure that out? Oh, so one tana highlighted, one machlok, one highlighted, another machlok, another machlok. Those are psukim that are supporting pre-existing traditions. Sometimes the psukim support the tradition, sometimes the psukim create the tradition. So that's already a question. But here it seems pretty clear that the din was nimna v'gom. This din was well known, was a popular din, and the shnayis. There's never a question of when Teshuvah really is. It's just a question of figuring out how the world did we get here. So out of these three approaches of the Tanoim, we're going to focus primarily on Rabbi Akiva's view, because Rabbi Akiva is the one that introduces the concept of the Malacha to us, which of course is close to our heart these days, so we're learning Hilchus, the Malacha, the Shabbos, and Yom Tov. So Rabbi Akiva said that it is inconceivable that the Torah would have told us to get rid of our chometz on the first day of Pesach proper, because that would have been a violation of Malacha. And what great Malacha would that have violated? Have to go down the list. Chometz, Rea, Kreta, what Malacha? Which Malacha is involved in the destroying of chometz? So it's clear that the Malacha Rekiva himself told us is Havara, is lighting a fire. But that already is a highly questionable statement. Lighting a fire is a Malacha on Yom Tov. Or to rephrase that statement, lighting a fire is an Issa Deraisa Yom Tov. We're talking Deraisas here. You can't start mixing in Dinim Rabban. So Rekiva is not killing Sukkim. He's proving, quote unquote, the authenticity of the Mesorah that Erev Pesach, that the Kashmisa must be an Erev Pesach, because it cannot be a Pesach. That to burn chametz on Pesach would be prohibited min haTorah. We have to isolate that statement, Rabbi Akiva. Is it really? Is that true? Burning chametz on Pesach is really awesome min haTorah. Is that correct? So a lot of things have to fall into place for that statement to be true. So comes the Gemara at the very bottom of them, Aleph Amar Rava. The Rava says it, top of the days. Shmami number Rabbi Akiva Talas. We can derive from Rabbi Akiva's derivation, his discussion as to the source of Yom HaRishon. We can derive three distinct halachas. Shmami Rekivet Las. Shmami Na. Ein Biachamet Elas Reifa. So the first thing we can derive from Rabbi Akiva is that Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that Ein Biachamet Elas Reifa, that chametz must be destroyed specifically through burning. Now, why does the Gemara consider this to be a chiddush? Doesn't everybody know that? Well, does not everybody know that? We probably don't even pass it this way. It's actually a machorikis ha-tanoim. Between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham, in the first mission, the second parak of the second Pesachim, just how do you get rid of Chametz? Forget about Shabbos, just a regular normal airplane on a Monday morning. What are you supposed to do to get rid of your Chametz? How do you destroy Chametz? So the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda, Hashpasasa b'chol davar, whatever you want. You want to burn it, that's fine. You want to flush down the toilet, that's fine. You want to crumple it up and throw it to the wind, that's fine. Any physical destruction of the Chametz is perfectly acceptable according to the view of the Chacham. It's only the Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda, and probably Rabbi Akiva, who have a chiddush, who say no, that ein b'chametz elas reifa. The Torah only recognizes one form of destruction of chametz, and that is through sreifa, through burning of the chametz. The Gemara says that if Rabbi Akiva would have subscribed to the view of the Chachamim, then his whole proof would have been the meaningless. Rabbi Akiva is saying, you can't get rid of chametz on Pesach, but it involves malacha. If hashpasas b'chol davar, if you have a perfectly legitimate option to take it and flush it down the toilet, to take the chametz throw it to the wind, I can do that in Yom Tov. What possible malacha is involved in that? Yeah. And we all should be turning a little bit. Maybe the other possible malacha is involved. Maybe crumpling up chametz is a malacha. Maybe it's a malacha of tochein. It's really a tochein issue. Maybe we'll get to that a little bit later on. But the simple shot is that our method to destroy chametz is don't involve malachas. And therefore, if Rabbi Akiva is focusing on the malacha aspect, it must be Rabbi Akiva subscribing to that view of Rabbi Yehuda. So really, Rabbi Yehuda was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, namely called Ein Biachametz Elas Reifa. So Rabbi Akiva's proof is going to be hinging upon a shita that we may not ask in life. Where in the world did Rabbi Yehuda come off to say such a thing? India, Chametz Masrei. So where did Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda derive this? It doesn't say it in the Chumash. The Gemara has a drasha in the second parak of the second Sachim that Rabbi Yehuda, now by extension Rabbi Akiva, derived it from Nosar. Nosar and Chametz are very similar to one another. Nosar meaning part of the carbon that was left over, the banks of the carbonus that was left over. But once you leave it over, you're not really supposed to do that. Nosar, you remember, Boki, not supposed to have Nosar lying around. And then the Torah says, and if you have it lying around, you better get rid of it. So that's almost a similar model to Chavis, not identical, but similar. The Torah says, by your Rabbi Yemotzi, don't leave Chavis around, and if it happens to be lying around, Tashbisa Sarabatech, and get rid of it. But just as when it comes to Nosar, it's clear in the Chavish, by Nosar, that our Boki, by Eish, Tishrof, Fashis Bo, Torah says explicitly you have to burn those. You can't just take the Nosar and throw it into the garbage. There's a mitzvah that I should burn it. The Rabbi Yehuda says, just as there's a mitzvah that I should burn Nosar, we can compare chametz to nosar, and the mitzvah of tashvisu requires dafkis reisva. The chametz says that drasha is not correct. We have a whole elaborate discussion in the second rank of Sachim why that drasha should or should not be accepted. The bottom line is the machlekes that the Rav did Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, which the Gemara is now borrowing over to Shittas Rabbi Akiva. So when Rabbi Akiva says that inconceivable to do tashvisu on yontif, that's only true because Rabbi Akiva subscribed to the view of ein b'chametz nosar reisva. Is there anything more to this machlekes about Ein B'chametz Nosar Reisha? More than just psukim? Do you compare it to Nosar? Do I compare it to Nosar? Is there anything more wondrous to it? The Reb Chaim explains in his comments on the Navar, Luchos Chometz Matzah, that the machlekes of Yehuda, the extension of the Akiva and the Chachamim, is really something much more profound. It's not just the machlekes in terms of method of destruction. It's not just the detail. You flush it down the toilet, you throw it into the fire. It's much, much deeper than that. Reb Chaim explained that the basic machlekes is really a very lumdishet, a brisket, not a big surprise, but a brisket machlekes, as to what the very nature of the mitzvah of destroying chametz is all now. We know that you're not allowed to own chametz in Pesach. That's already a given. Even if the Torah wouldn't have told us to destroy the chametz, I would have known how to destroy the chametz, because the Torah already said, Shivas Yom Se'ol and Se'vatechem. The Torah already tells us, V'yiro lecha chametz v'lecha so'ol v'chug v'lecha. But I know I'm not allowed to own chametz in Pesach. Now comes the Torah additionally and says, by the way, besides you not owning chametz in Pesach, you have to destroy your chametz as well. So the Torah, reformulates the mitzvah, Pelashon Aseh. First the Torah says, don't own chametz, and then the Torah says, destroy the chametz. So the question becomes, what's the relationship between these two mitzvahs? So everybody agrees that by your Rabbi Motzeh, the issue of owning chametz is really Gavra-oriented. The Torah is saying, you as a person, just as the Torah says, you as a person can't eat a chametz, and you and a person can't do malach on Shabbos, you as a person can't own chametz. When the Torah, in a sense, repeats itself and says, by the way, get rid of your chametz, what is the Torah doing? Is the Torah just reformulating the exact same mitzvah, the lashon mitzvah saseh? Means not only does the Torah say you're not allowed to own chametz, the Torah is putting a positive spin on it and saying, you as a gavra have to remove your chametz, but in terms of the lumbus, it's really the same mitzvah. The two sides are the same coin. Bayura and Tashbisu are really identical. One is written B'Lashon Yisr, and one is written B'Lashon Mitzvah. Marshal Ma'adavadam, where do we find such an idea? The Torah gives us basically the exact same thing, the identical idea. Sometimes it formulates it as a low say, and sometimes it formulates it as an essay, but there's no real difference. B'Lashon Shabbos. The Torah says, don't do B'Lashon Shabbos. We're spending the last 2.5 years, Lo Sasaka B'Lashon. In addition to Lo Sasaka B'Lashon, there's a mitzvah essay called there's a mitzvah to rest on Shabbos. Can somebody tell me the difference between Losaska Malacha and Tishbos? According to Ben Rishon, there's absolutely no difference. It's the same thing. What is a positive spin? What is a negative spin? What do I do to fulfill Tishbos? Describe to me the mitzvah of Tishbos. What is Hindu Muslims do to fulfill the mitzvah of resting on Shabbos? What's the answer? You do nothing. By refraining from Malacha, then mainly you get to the mitzvah of Tishbos. So here we have an example when it comes to Malacha on Shabbos and Yom Tov, where the Torah gives us the exact same mitzvah, just formulates it, one B'Lashon Aseh and one B'Lashon Lo Aseh. One B'Lashon Lo'Shon Aseh Aseh and Yom Kippur. The Torah says that, the Yom Kippur says, the Torah says, Kichol Nefesh Shalom Se'una, Se'na Le'i Eden Yom Kippur. So the mitzvah Aseh of fasting on Yom Kippur, and the mitzvah Lo Aseh of not breaking a fasting on Yom Kippur, I'm not sure the same thing. One formula is an essay, one formula is an also essay. But in terms of practical differences, there's no difference whatsoever. So that could be that that's the relationship between Rabbi Motzei and Tashbisu. Tashbisu is just a mechanism, in effect, the positive mechanism of not violating the Aveira of Arav Eilatzeh. Or maybe one can argue, no, maybe one can argue that Teshbitzu is a whole new aspect, a whole new dimension. Arav Eilatzeh is one mitzvah. Teshbitzu is a different mitzvah. What would the difference between the two mitzvahs be? Arav Eilatzeh is Gav oriented. You are now our own Chametz and Pesach. Teshbitzu is Chefza oriented. Namely, this Chefza must be removed. This Chefza is now Ton Ibud Min Olam. There's a mitzvah that's chal on this item. This item has to be treated in such and such a way. Marshal Mazda Vidoma, Shreifas Dosa. Shreifas Dosa means Dosa is in the Mekadosh. It's in the Mekadosh that just became Usher, past the time of its eating. It has to be disposed of in an appropriate manner. It's not enough to say, okay, I'll take it and throw it to the garbage. No, but nice and minute, right way she's Shreifu, is a mitzvah Shreifas Dosa. So Sergei Yochanan, it's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda says about, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda say about the mitzvah Shreifas Chometz. Chometz is a type of a chetza, but the Torah gives us specific halachas of how to destroy it. It's not enough for me to say, oh, I don't have the chometz anymore, throw it to the garbage, so I don't have it anymore, leave me alone. No, that's enough to get around by Rav Eilatzeh, to quote-unquote fulfill by Rav Eilatzeh, to avoid violating by Rav Eilatzeh. Everyone agrees you take the chometz and throw it to the garbage. But Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Akiva say there's more to it than that. The mitzvah of Tashbisa means that the chometz must be destroyed, and it must be destroyed in a very, very specific manner. It's almost like kashrut. It's almost like kashrut. It's a leftover, something that shouldn't be here. Whenever the Torah has a cheft that's not supposed to be here, the Torah says, not just you, plainly, have to make sure you're clear of chametz. Your chametz has to be removed, and it has to be removed in a very specific manner. According to the Chachamim, it would be absurd to talk about removing chametz in a specific manner. The whole thrust of Teshbitzu was just the flip side of Bairod HaMatzeh. If Tachlis, I don't own the chametz anymore, because the chametz is in the garbage, the chametz is down the toilet, the chametz is in the river. If it's not by Rana, so then maybe I would get to Teshbisu. The mechanism of Teshbisu and by Rana Matzeh are mamish go hand in hand. By not violating by Rana, maybe I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of Teshbisu, because it's really one of the same. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Rabbi Yehuda says there's two different mitzvahs. I could do something that suffices to get around by Rana Matzeh, just didn't yet enable me to fulfill the mitzvah of Teshbisu. Because by Rav Eilatzeh is a mitzvah gavra, and Teshbitzu is a mitzvah chefza. So this machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbana, which is now spilling over to Rabbi Akiva, the name of Chometz of Shreifa, is not just a machlokes in technical, what method do I do? Do I throw it in the toilet or throw it into the fire? It's much more profound, much deeper than that. How do we pask him halacha? Because Rabbi Akiva's old drash is hinging upon a sheet that may not even be halacha. How do we pask him? So it's machlokes of Rishonim. Most of Rishonim pask him like the Chachamim. And some Rishon Rashi and Taisus the Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, in Shulchan Aruch, we Paskin a little bit of a split. We Paskin that really the Ikra didn't hold like the Chachamim. That means the person's stuck. And there's no way to burn the Chametz. So we tell them flush down the toilet, throw into the ocean, throw into the sewer, and figure out how to get rid of the Yerah Chametz. The Ikra didn't pass the Tashbis was good enough even the Choldover. But the Chachil and Defense, those Rishonim who saw it in Rabbi Yehuda, the Ramah writes, the Minhag HaOlam has been for quite some time, we try to burn a Chametz. Nobody under normal circumstances would just take the chametz and just throw it into the river. That's a last resort. You should try to make a fire. For whatever reason, if Mavish can't make a fire, then you fall back what the Ikra Din is. L'chatchila, we do try to make a fire. But since the Ikra and the Ikra Din, we don't really follow Rabbi Yehuda, it's hard for us to buy into Rabbi Akiva's Rasha. Rabbi Akiva's Rasha is important for us. It's important for us in terms of wonders, but it's probably not going to help us because we deny the first Nekuda that Rabbi Akiva's Rasha hinges upon. So Rabbi Akiva, again, had three different chedushim. Rava said Rabbi Akiva, who used the Yisr of Malach on Yantif as a way to determine that Tashbisu is not on Yantif proper, Rabbi Akiva was basing himself on number one, Envia Chametz L'Sreifa. So we discussed a little bit the significance of that statement. Then the Gemara goes on the top of the Hebrew base, that's one, Ushma Mina, Afar L'Chalek Yatas. Number two, Rabbi Akiva is assuming something about the Yisr of making a fire on Yantif. He's assuming the following statement, that Avar is L'chalek Yatzos. What in the world is Avar L'chalek Yatzos? So that original statement has nothing to do with Yantif. That original statement has to do with Shabbos. It's actually the Tanan commenting on a Poskim Pashas B'Yachil, a very difficult Poskim Pashas B'Yachil. Torah says, don't do Malacha. We know exactly based on Tershim HaPel what Malacha means. It means that Tiranai Malacha is associated with the construction of the Mishkan. One of those Malachas, of course, being making fires. Then the Torah says, oh, by the way, not only are you not allowed to do Tiranai Malacha, but by the way, don't light a fire in Shabbos. The question is obvious. The Torah just told us, Losastika Malacha, and Avar is one of the Lamatas Malacha, learned out from Mishkan, why in the world does the Torah single out most of our Eish Chomash Shusechem? There's an answer in Nigma and an answer in Nistar. We'll give the Nistar answer first. That's what says the Zohar. I'm not going to talk too much about that. The Zohar says, most of our Eish Chomash Shusechem is referring to not just lighting a match, not just driving your car. It means don't light a fire inside you. Don't get angry. Don't get upset on Shabbos. Most of our Eish Chomash Shusechem, no matter where you are on Shabbos, don't get angry. Always be smiling on Shabbos. That's the significance of Lo Sevar Eish. So one time it says, Lo Sevar Eish is to teach me not that Avar is any more, any less awesome than the other 38 Malachis, but Avar is a model to teach us the following din. We know that if a person does the same Aveira multiple times, B'shogeg, you only bring one carbon. If a person ate Chavetz on Pesach, he sits down and he has a slice of pizza. Tony took out his Pesach. He has a slice of pizza, he has a bowl of cereal, he has a box of cookies, he has a challah roll, and an hour later, oh my goodness, I forgot his Pesach. So he ate 45 kizaitim of chametz, he only brings one korban chametz. That person on Yom Kippur, he ate breakfast, he ate lunch, he totally forgot about Yom Kippur. So I ate 20 kizaitim, only one korban chametz. What if a person on Shabbos does multiple malachas? So he forgot he's not allowed to ride on Shabbos, he forgot he's not allowed to cook on Shabbos, he forgot he's not allowed to fire on Shabbos, he forgot he's not allowed to chai. Local malachas, I would have said he only brings one the carbon. The Kamash Lam is Allah's book, Chiluk Malachas to Shabbos. You bring carbonas per malacha that you violated. How do you know that? That's what's called Havar Machalik Yachid. Since the Torah singles out Havar and saying Havar is a malacha, that's another way of saying each malacha is an Issur B'Fnei Atzmo. Each malacha is significant on its own, and in the realm of calculating Kamachas, each one stands on its own two feet. When the Torah says Havar, the Torah says, just as we said, L'tichtim v'shabbos, L'sadash v'shabbos, the Torah says Havar to teach me Havar l'chalak yotzos. The Gemara says, you see that Rabbi Akiva must hold Havar l'chalak yotzos. Don't say anything. Rabbi Akiva is talking about Havar yotzos. The Gemara is talking about Havar and Shabbos. What in the world does the Gemara mean with this cryptic statement, Havar l'chalak yotzos? Hopefully we'll see tomorrow. This is going to become the main focus of what we're going to talk about, what exactly the issue of Havar is, both Shabbos and Yom Tov, in order to ultimately understand what in the world Rabbi Akiva was referring to.